So many people are not on their own side, have no kindness for themselves. How do you go from kind of hating yourself or shaming yourself or just being lost in that to having a kinder regard for yourself and a friendship?
So on the first level, when we're traumatized, we have these behavioral responses. So I do a lot of psychoeducation with people in the book and in person to understand how, well, you're just stuck in this behavior, these behaviors, fight, flight, freeze, or fawn, and it's really limiting your life, and it comes from the trauma. And when you start to understand that, then we move down to the next level, which is the inner critic. And we start to see, through mindfulness and through psychoeducation, paying attention to your process, you start to see, holy mackerel, I'm so hard on myself. The word I like to use for these days is, I only notice myself in a negative way. I have two processes going on here. I'm looking at what's wrong with me. If I'm a fight type or a freeze type, I'm also looking at what's wrong with the world. And that's all I see, total negative noticing. And then I expand that into myself, noticing myself in a negative way. And then the other key process is endangerment. I'm just drasticizing and catastrophizing, hypochondriacizing about all the terrible things that are going to happen to me, which reflected all the terrible things that did happen to you as a child, but projecting them on people that, you know, aren't dangerous. So a lot of psychoeducation around this process. I have in the chapter 9, it's called Shrinking the Inner Critic, and it looks at 14 different ways the inner critic, like our parents, attack us with perfectionism, with time urgency, with drasticizing, with catastrophizing. And I have things that we can say to ourselves to contradict that. So on working on this cognitive level, it's first understanding how we're ruled by this terrible perfectionism and negative noticing, and shifting to a more positive perspective of ourselves. And I will often help my clients to see that. I might be the first witness to say, hey, you're not all that. You know, you've got a good heart. You're a really smart person. You're kind. And look at the things you've told me about that you've accomplished. You know, call yourself stupid. You got a PhD. I mean, how could that be? You know, you call yourself ugly. You look attractive to me. Mm-hmm. That kind of thing. So these days, when I take that down to the next level, emotional, and this is what I'm doing a lot, particularly in the first couple of years of therapy, is this 1-2 process of noticing when you're attacking yourself, when you're unfairly blaming yourself, and saying no to it. It's a simple cognitive technique of thought stopping. I'm expanding that to say perspective stopping. You're stuck in the same perspective your parents had of you, always negative. And any part of you mad about that? I mean, what if you went back in time and you were 2 and you saw your parents doing that to you? Or if you had your kid or somebody who's doing that to them, wouldn't you feel mad? Wouldn't you want to say, no, stop that, don't do that, don't talk to me that way? And, you know, gradually trying to reconnect the person with their healthy anger, the instinct of self-protection.
Welcome to the 2021 Radical Recovery Summit, presented by the Killaby Center for Recovery. This is Lynn Fraser, your moderator. This year, our theme is Feel It, Heal It, a new paradigm of recovery, featuring a diverse group of thought leaders and innovators, people who are working on the ground in the new field of addiction recovery. Go to radicalrecoverysummit.com to sign up and watch free.